Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
What is up? Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, beer in the headlights and hamburger helper. Did I say that right?
Hamburger.
Hamburger?
Hamburger. Hams and birds. I'm Eddie Kim, proud D.C.ist, fashion icon, and once held, I spark joy in people's hearts. Spark joy. Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo joke.
Marie Kondo has been shaping both of our lives recently. I have a new sock drawer, thanks to her.
Everything's vertical and standing upright.
Yep, that's good.
Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by bar manager or bar everything maverick of Colony Club, Madam Ambassador of Nightlife for the Safe Bar Program, the talented Lauren Paler. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I had to Google how to address verbally an ambassador, and it said Madam Ambassador was correct. Although I feel like, yeah, if you're in the UK, it's mum, right? Ma'am, but like said in a British accent.
Do you know the plural of Madam Ambassador?
That's what?
It's Madam's Ambassador.
Okay. Madam's Ambassador.
Anyway.
Madam Ambassadorship. How's it going today?
How you doing?
Things are good. Things are good. It's I will admit, it's really weird hearing my voice. Yeah.
That's what the booze is for. It helps dull the pain.
Have you Marie Kondo'd your life?
No.
Con-Marie'd your life yet?
Okay. No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
To be fair, I've only seen one episode, and I've already redone three drawers in my life, so... that's how easily swayed I am by.
How about the people in your life?
It's a group project. It's a group project. Before we dig too far into it, let's do some weekend recap. First of all, it's Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody.
Happy MLK Day, yeah. Mm-hmm. The lobby here at the Line Hotel is pretty packed.
Super packed.
A lot of people listening. I think everyone's just taking the day off, or we're forced to take the day off as we're still in the 30th day of the government shutdown.
Yeah. Given our current political climate, it's an important reminder of how far we've come, but also how far we have to go.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What has been on your radar this week,
Matt? Well, thanks to your... Eddie Kim alerted me to this. White Castle is now taking reservations for Valentine's Day. And I'm just going to read their quick blurb because this is amazing. The very fact that they feel like they need to mention this. The special experience will include hostess seating. That's an amenity. Tableside service, which is another amenity. Decadent cuisine of sliders, shrimp nibblers, strawberry and cream waffles, and other noteworthy menu items. This is a yearly tradition for many couples, friends, and families. I'm intrigued. I want to be a part of that.
I don't hate that.
No. That says romance to me, very, very simply.
It's what comes after the White Castle that worries me, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one year they made a White Castle candle, and I bought that. I'm a sucker for their shenanigans.
Okay.
But I'll probably be at White Castle.
Have you ever taken a date to White Castle, Matthew?
Yes.
First date, though?
No, not a first date.
Okay.
We had been dating. She already got it.
And she appreciated it.
Well, we're engaged to be married, Eddie Kim.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought this was part of your repertoire. Okay, never mind.
What repertoire?
I have a repertoire.
we'll talk about that later.
What else was going on this week? Let's see. In California, in San Francisco, the latest foie gras legal decision means that foie gras is now banned in California once again. The Supreme Court rejected to hear the case.
It's been an up and down ride for those guys.
Yeah, in 2015, it was back on, and now it's off again. So now, if you have foie gras or you're selling it in California, that's a $1,000 fine.
Man, Jason Mader will be very, very upset.
Yeah, Jason Mader cannot thrive out there.
Jason Mader probably would smuggle his own and has.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else is going on? How about... Well,
there was the recent rage in up in rage in the news up in New York City. The Upper East Side Italian kind of overpriced socialite restaurant made a splash this week when it was revealed by... or it was accused that they have allegedly banned solo female diners from dining at the bar. It was a reported crackdown on hookers and sex workers, which is egregious for so many reasons. That's just so fucking horrible. They have yet to respond, so...
You know. A lot of other people have responded. So I saw this the other night. Jeffrey Morgenthaler responded in his tweet... if you're so afraid of sex workers spending money at your bar, you could try banning the men who proposition single men. Bonus, your bar is no longer full of shitty dudes.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. DC, one of my favorite pastimes in DC and for a lot of people has been going to a certain bar in DC and kind of just people watching. And it's very well frequented by women in that industry.
You're just painting in very broad strokes right now.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm not trying to put the X on any kind of spot in any place.
Oh man,
but it is an issue with a lot of places. Lauren, have you had to deal with that at all?
Not on a firsthand basis, but you know, with being involved with safe bars, it's definitely. I think the involvement in safe bars just makes you a little bit more aware of those things happening.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some bars that I've been to and, you know, have been witnessed.
And well, and I think we'll definitely kind of dig into that down the road here. Real quick, you have a pop-up tonight.
Yeah. So my company, LP Drinks, we're doing a squirrel appreciation event tonight at The Passenger. It'll be at 8 p.m. Celebrating all the squirrels that attended Camp Run Amok and obviously open to anyone who is...
For our listeners, Run Amok.
So Camp Run Amok is a bartender's camp that takes place in Kentucky. And people from all over the world, honestly, are coming in to celebrate. And there are distillery tours that involve definitely educational components integrated. It's a really great time to network and establish relationships with brands and to meet all these wonderful influencers and bartenders and bar enthusiasts. Yeah.
It sounds vaguely like a Burning Man for
bartenders.
Not a fire festival.
Just given like all the pre and after parties.
Well, I want to talk about that in a little bit. Well, first of all, we have drinks in our hands.
Yes.
That we've already.
I've already gone through my first one. Yeah, it's amazing.
What are we drinking, Lauren?
We were drinking a Last Word, probably one of my favorite cocktails. And there's gin, maraschino, a little bit of lime juice, and green chartreuse. I was actually trying to think of what made me, decide to have this drink today. And it made me think about the first time I ever went to Hogo. Long live Hogo. I miss that place. The first cocktail Tom Brown ever gave me was a Tom Collins. And then that kind of transitioned into, a gin Ricky. And over time, it eventually ended up being this. So, I have Tom to thank for that, I guess.
Right on. Yeah. No, it's a classic.
So was this the kind of the straw that broke the...
Yeah, absolutely. The back? I could have this. I can have 100 of these anywhere, anytime, and be happy.
They're so good.
Happy.
Yeah.
This one in particular is made with Roku gin, which is a new Japanese gin from Suntory. So it's a little bit of
it's delicious.
A twist on the typical Last Word.
And real quick, before we deviate too far from the news, we have two other events this week.
Let's talk about some other events. Yes. Oyster is going to have their second night of their pop-up tonight at Maxwell Park. Oyster is a collaboration project between Max Kruller, Rob Ruba, Adam Birnbach, kind of featuring food and beverages that come from sustainable and biodynamic and just basically renewable sources.
Super cool.
This week is focused, or this pop-up is focused on root vegetables.
Getting to the root of it.
And I'm going to plug myself, Lazy Omakase. My pop-up with Adam Birnbach is going to... We have another installment this Thursday, and I'll be featuring my drinks this time. So
nice.
Yeah. A little birdie told me there might be some Wii games.
Yeah, normally there's Mario Kart, but since I'm so extra, I got to take it to the next level. Whereas Adam liked to play Mario Kart, I used to scream and yell at other people as we played... Super Smash Brothers.
Nice.
And cry. So afterwards.
Expect lots of eye rolls. All right.
No, expect me throwing the controller at the screen. Okay, so Lauren, you started bartending around 2015.
Right? I was around 2014.
14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess for the most part, you're kind of fairly new
for sure,
to the industry. Yeah. Like how... What has been your trajectory like? Like, what did you see that you needed to do to dive in?
So I moved to D.C. in 2010. I was a nursing student at Catholic. Really funny how this worked out, but I was looking for off-campus housing because I was like, I'm ready for adulthood. Let's do this, you know? I found out Tom Brown had a room to rent out, which was great because it was like $500 and I was a broke college student, so it worked out perfectly. I found myself hanging out at The Passenger and Etheridge, Southern Efficiency, Mockingbird Hill, Hogo, all those places a lot. Got to know Derek and Tom pretty well.
These are all great bars and restaurants opened up by the Brown brothers who have been staples in the DC bartender community. Derek runs the Columbia Room, which was voted the world's best cocktail bar.
Absolutely.
Tom has run The Passenger, which has always held a very special place in a lot of our hearts.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess that's where you got your start.
Yeah, so naturally hanging out with those two guys, you're going to meet a lot of, you know, really great people, but also have a lot of really great drinks. And I just kind of fell in love with the passion and enthusiasm that their staff naturally, you know, held. And I was very... I essentially quit my nursing job and was like, I'm going to do this full time. Yeah. Mom was very
Fuck
proud.
Nursing, pass
yeah,
in
yeah, yeah, let's do it. and, you know, left Derek Brown's bars, went to work for Kimpton Hotel and Restaurants just to kind of introduce myself to a new vibe.
Sure.
Worked at the Dabney briefly, and then now I'm at the Colony Club. So, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, I see that happens fairly frequently when... DC is full of group houses and people live with each other and there's no shortage of bartenders and
one out of every four roommates is a bartender.
Absolutely.
And inevitably, you know, your bartender friend comes in after work at 4 o'clock in the morning and wants to have a drink and wakes you up and that I guess that's what happened with
exactly what happened. No sleep in that house. No sleep. But yeah, definitely good times and probably one of the best decisions I've made. I'm still learning a lot, taking advantage of a lot of, you know, educational opportunities, meeting amazing people. So
right on.
Hopefully it continues to be as fun as it is now.
Well, we like to play a little game we call Two Truths, One Lie as a kind of a way to further get to know you.
Two Truths, One Lie.
Now, you should know that Eddie Kim and I have won just about every one of these games. So, if we lose today, it's going to be a first.
Okay.
We can literally literally count the number of times we've won on...
Oh, yeah. Right. Reverse it.
Half
flip
a
it.
Hand.
All right. Lie to us. What do you got?
All right. Let's see. I once served Michelle Obama.
Okay.
LP Drinks has booked NASA for their 61st anniversary party this year.
Cool.
And I've never seen any of the Hobbit movies.
Well, the fact that you call them Hobbit movies means it's true.
Okay, fair enough. What should I have called
it? Wow, that you said that in a second. I would not have gotten that.
It's so funny because I actually had to Google it. I was like, is it Hobbit series? Like the Hobbit? What is it? I have no idea.
So that is true.
Ooh, Matthew's on point today.
Man, no hesitation there either.
What was number one again?
Wait, Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
What was number two?
LP Drinks has booked NASA for their 61st anniversary party this year.
NASA. You know the date. You know it's the 61st, so I'm going to say that's true.
Okay, so...
I think you've never served Michelle Obama.
Wrong.
Ah, goddammit!
I got them. Okay.
Our first defeat ever.
That's awesome. Really, ever?
No.
Oh.
We lose every week.
I actually served Michelle Obama when I was working at the Dabney. It was great. She was so nice. She drinks one-to-one gin martinis with a lemon twist.
Hey, we're and, not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, sorry. the NASA thing, there was actually an inquiry, but it never fell through.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, she does drink a one-to-one gin martini.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Listen, if you're not drinking a martini wet, you're doing it wrong. I'm putting that out there.
Well, she does drink other versions of the martini.
Yeah.
That's just what she had that night, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And you've never seen a Lord of the Rings movie?
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, yes, Lord of the Rings. I don't know why I struggled when I Googled that. It was like the thing that's not Harry Potter. What
is it? I guess there's like a Tolkien series?
The Smeagol series, yeah.
Smeagol series, that. There we go. Deep cuts.
I've never seen it.
Oh, God damn it.
You've never seen them either?
No. So you're in the minority, Matthew.
Right. Let's transition from there.
So you have jumped head first, and you mentioned there are a lot of opportunities that you've tried to take advantage of to get to know the industry. And on your website, you listed five things.
Yeah, yeah. So
to take advantage of.
Yeah, so some of the things that I've kind of leaped on, Cocktails in the Country is this lovely weekend seminar that Gaz Regan runs in a little inn out in like North New York, but not exactly upstate New York. I don't know how to explain it for people who aren't from the area. Yeah,
mid New York.
Yeah, there you go. And it's a series of seminars that kind of just bring to light that there's more to bartending than just, you know, bartending. It's about taking care of people at the end of the day and your interactions with them. To list, you know, a few others, Bar 5 Day, something I took advantage of. It's really, really great resource. So they do a bunch of blind tastings, and they have panelists that come and speak about their experiences in the industry.
Cool.
And at the end of the week, because it's a 5 day long occurrence, you are tested on several different things. You're blind tasted on cocktails, blind tasted on spirits. You're asked to make like 5 cocktails in under 10 minutes. It was definitely challenging but fun. Camp Run Amok, I listed as one. Just I think it's a really great resource for people who are, you know, a little shyer. I wouldn't necessarily consider myself shy, but I think that it benefit me in many other ways. You know, I was able to meet a lot of people who have persuaded me and, you know, convinced me to take advantage of the opportunities at hand. Not be afraid, you know, to reach the limit kind of thing.
Right. Now, do you go to these things and how do you implement them in, say, like Colony Club?
Sure. So I obviously, you know, let the people I work with know that these are resources available to them. But I think when you attend these things, it kind of changes your presence a little bit. For me, at least, it reminds me every day why I do what I do. I really enjoy working with people. I really enjoy being able to share these stories about spirits and cocktails and, you know, just ensure that people are having a good time. So I think that it's something that kind of sticks with me every day in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing about bartending where you start kind of digging into the stories of certain spirits and cocktails. And that's, I mean... becomes less about just shaking a drink and more about like kind of sharing history and
that's for cool. Sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the people who are doing the job. I mean, right now on the table, you have a red book, a little red book.
Yeah.
Not the little.
Yeah.
Book. a red book, The Ideal Bartender by Tom Bullock, which is like from 1917, the quintessential, like really the first black bartender to publish a book.
And absolutely.
I mean, he has drinks in there. Sure. I can't name a single one that he has in there, but his story in general, as it pertains to DC as well, is remarkable.
For sure. He's definitely been an influence. And I was actually introduced to who Tom Bullock was by Derek. I remember when I first started bartending, he was like, you know, there's a lot of history with cocktails and, you know, African-Americans and people of color in general. But, you know, you should really, you know, take advantage of these resources and be proud. And, you know, spread that knowledge to others. The Ideal Bartender is a great book. And it really places emphasis on this idea of diversity, especially at a time when it wasn't necessarily an option, you know? So it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that in the book right now that you've popped out at you so far?
There are a lot of recipes, a lot of classics in here. But I think the thing that's most interesting is this testimonial from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It says, Colonel Roosevelt's fatal admission that he drank just a part of one julep at the St. Louis Country Club will come very near losing his case. So essentially, he was denying that he didn't finish it. And that was impossible at that time to not finish a cocktail made by Tom Bullock. So, you know, just hearing stuff like that is really exciting and kind of cool.
That's preposterous, sir.
Preposterous. Yeah, exactly. But I definitely recommend taking advantage of it. This book, it's a great one.
Awesome. Sure. Right on.
Well, since we brought up Kentucky, should we take a break?
Yeah.
And break open this bottle of Bellmead bourbon that Lauren brought.
Yeah.
And so we'll just take a short break. Thanks for listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. I'm with Matthew and Lauren Paler. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to Shift Drink, recording live at the Lion Hotel. Eddie Kim is pouring whiskey for us all right now. This has been aged for 9 years in sherry barrels.
Yeah, Oloroso cask.
Oh, man.
So good.
Look, Madam Ambassador, if we may, let's... I'd love to hear more about your Safe Bar program that you're
involved in. So Safe Bars was originated in D.C., and we essentially teach bystander innovation or intervention strategies for people in bars. So it's really been a great opportunity to be part of that. Mostly because I think a lot of the times you're not really aware these things are occurring. So when you kind of bring to light the warning signs. It just puts things into perspective. Yeah.
I mean, I think this is, I feel like this is like knowledge and learning that mm-hmm. all restaurants in DC, you know, or just in general right. should have. What do you guys, are you guys, how do you guys, are there, how do restaurants get involved with this?
Yeah, so a lot of the restaurants that we've trained have reached out. Lauren Taylor is the, Lauren Taylor, as funny as that sounds, yes, Lauren Taylor is the founder of Safe Bars. And a lot of the people who have participated in being part of the Safe Bar program reach out to her. And then we come in and we train their employees. You know, we'll do like role play situations where we ask two people stand up, we give them a scenario situation, and we kind of see how they play it out. And I think doing things like that just brings things to light, like, oh, you know, that interaction is actually really awkward standing on the outside looking in. And a lot of the times people are like, oh, I didn't realize that me doing that to someone actually makes them uncomfortable. So I think there's a lot of benefits in, you know, getting involved in doing something like that.
Now, I've seen a lot of Safe Bars going, news of Safe Bars going into bars or a lot of independent bars and restaurants. You've worked in a wide variety of different settings.
Yeah.
Let's say for a corporate kind of environment, have you had any pushback? Have you been more difficult to get into those kind of settings?
Yeah, I think it's different. And you bring up a good point that, you know, training needs to be modified depending on what kind of place you're going into. Because a club setting is going to be different than a craft cocktail bar, and a craft cocktail bar is going to be different than a hotel bar. I wouldn't say there's resistance. I definitely think that because the culture is different in every place, it's more of whether the information being given is something that, you know, they'll utilize or not at the end of the day. And honestly, the only thing we can do is come in and train the employees and hope that they take away this information. But I think that in general, that the community and the industry is moving towards, or moving away from, like, oh, this is a problem, and moving towards, like, okay, this is a problem, let's actually do something about it, which is great to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, especially as, I think we're kind of hitting a stride in D.C. where you have, you know, we talked about this when Jill Tyler was on, people getting into hospitality for hospitality's sake, and how to navigate these waters. There was an article about color coding and creating a safe space, and how they would deem certain clients or people that came in, if they did something that might provoke something, they would, you know, you're a yellow all of a sudden. And then, like,
yeah,
if they did one more thing, you're like, oh, okay, like, you're red. And, like, and there was, like, actions in place to manage that.
Automatic actions. Yeah. I think a restaurant out in San Francisco first started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really does take... It takes a lot of thought out of it.
It does.
It's just immediate and automatic reactions to certain things.
It's always good to be prepared. You know?
Yeah. And I think in this day and age where that message is finally getting received, it's being a lot more impactful.
I mean, when you drop a glass on the ground, it's an automatic reaction by every single freaking person.
That's true.
We know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
But like as a bar back knows immediately to clean it up. Absolutely. Right away.
That's a good point, Eddie. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. I kind of want an example from you between a high volume bar, beer bar, and a cocktail bar. What are there any differences between situations that might arise that require different reactions from different types of bartenders?
Yeah, I think that when you're looking more at your craft cocktail bars, and obviously this is generally speaking and based on what I've seen,
sure,
that the problems are not as serious as what you see in clubs. Specific situations are kind of, I'm at a loss right now, but I think that
more guys with mustaches that are waxed.
No, what I was going to say is I think it's more.
It's season 3, bro. I got my mustache back.
Hey,
deal with it.
Hey, you'll always be my target.
I think with clubs, you see a lot more employee to employee versus craft cocktail, where it's employee with guest interactions.
Right.
based on what we've seen in our training. So that can kind of probably help guide you a little bit in what, you know.
And as a Knight Ambassador, what does that job entail?
Yeah, so obviously being a trainer, but also just kind of promoting safe bars, intervening when necessary, and just bringing to light that, you know, this is not okay, you don't have to deal with this. And there are resources and ways, you know, that you can make this wrong right. So that's kind of my role and my position. Yeah.
But you're not the guardian angels. You're not walking around with red berets and...
Hey, I never said that.
Man.
Lauren, yeah, Lauren, you look pretty tough. You could probably rock a...
I mean, I did jiu-jitsu for like 2 months, but I don't know about that.
I challenge you.
All right.
I did judo for 1 year as a 6-year-old, so I think we're all like on the same par, maybe.
Probably.
Can you ki for us on air, please?
To this day, when I trip and fall, I still fall into a judo roll.
That's actually really impressive.
That's how deep my training
muscle
is.
Muscle memory, man.
Yeah.
6 years old. Look at that.
Look at that.
I wish I could call your fiance right now and ask. Like, does Matthew just like judo roll at random?
When I was in second grade, my first girlfriend, she broke up with me because I was doing too many judo rolls. I was showing off too much. She said, "Let's dump."
Is that your truth or lie?
That's 100% truth. But the words "let's dump" like still rock me to this day.
Wait, was this when you were living in Japan?
When I was living in Japan, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Too many judo rolls in Japan. Interesting. Right. you mentioned, we were talking the other night, you recently applied a grant.
Yeah.
For Tales of the Cocktail. They have a grant program giving out scholarships for bartenders or anyone in the industry who wants to pursue some kind of special project.
Yeah, for sure. So without giving too much information out, I'm essentially working on a project that allows... or at least starts to get people thinking about underrepresented groups in our industry specifically, and what we can do to make ourselves more aware of the problems that exist in regards to underrepresented groups. Because at the end of the day, you know, what I would really love to see is just this linear advancement. I think that there's a lot of talent and... maybe not necessarily the resources available to everyone. So I'm essentially just implementing a program where I can host a series or a conference that has a series of seminars to educate people on the history of people of color, you know, LGBTQ, different religions, just diverse groups and what their influence in our industry has been. And then my hope is to form a scholarship program kind of around Tom Bullock. So I call it Tom Bullock Scholarship, that will allow residents in DC, who are either bar enthusiasts or bartenders that want to be able to take advantage of some of the opportunities I named before, you know, to be able to go to Bar 5 Day. And it is a very expensive program.
Yeah.
So hopefully these resources can allow those people who would love to continue their education to be able to do so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. Tales of the Cocktail itself kind of ran into a couple of hurdles because they were seen as not all-inclusive. And now they've, under new ownership, they've changed quite a bit. And was there any, did you see any single source of the problems? Or, I mean, for the most part, it's intersectionality, and there's a lot of problems that kind of coalesce into this bigger issue.
For sure. I think that being Black and a female, that I've personally encountered things, and that kind of motivates me to want, you know, to make a change. I will say Ashton Berry, who's this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bartender influencer based out of New Orleans. I recently followed her on Instagram, and I think I love how she's not afraid to speak up and speak out. She challenges people to think about pressing issues. It actually, I'll admit, makes me a little uncomfortable, but it also drives me.
Right on.
And I think I just hope to be able to do the same thing for others. Not to say I wasn't as motivated before, but you know, it definitely kind of puts things into perspective. You know, this is wrong or this is right. And, you know, this is why I feel this is wrong. And if I want to make a change, I got to do something about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're doing so in an industry that, like, kind of for the most part, is it's like, I think it could benefit from this.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. Yeah, I think that obviously it's still, you know, in the beginning stages. And if it doesn't end up going through Tales of the Cocktail, I still want to see it happen. Yeah. Because it really is important to me. And, you know, there are a lot of great influencers in DC right now. I think Andra Lynn is another person. She recently did the DMV Black Restaurant Week, the first one, from my understanding. Might be wrong about that, but... she recently did that, and
she's a big time listener, so we'll find out.
It was amazing, a great turnout. I had the honor of participating in the first Black Restaurant Week bartender competition that I won in DC, which was
hell
a lot
yeah.
of fun.
Alexia, cue that bomb sound.
Yeah. I wish y'all could see the hand motion I just did, but yeah, that was amazing. It was great, and I think that it really. Got a lot of people kind of itching for more, which was fun. Another person who's doing really great things in DC, Capri Robinson. She recently did Chocolate City's Best, which featured many different bartenders in DC of, you know, African-American descent. And I think that was a really, really nice way to kind of showcase people who aren't necessarily being highlighted amongst all the talent that we have in DC, so
right on, and we do have a lot of talent in DC.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, with so many, it's such an explosion of restaurants, there should be more talent that's featured. Yeah, I mean, do you see that as maybe a problem of the press not going, you know, not going out of their way to feature some people, or some bars just not falling within the kind of Northwest DC high-end type places that we go to?
That brings up a good point. I think it's a little bit of both, but most importantly for me, at least, you and I, we're all in the industry, so, you know, we know that if someone's not being featured in an article, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not any good, you know. I think there's a lot more to it. Things are constantly changing, so I think it's a constant battle of, oh, I have to keep up with what's new or hip, or, you know. And then there's this other aspect where, like, there are so many different styles of bars, neighborhood bars, you know, you have your dive bars, you have your, you know, your craft cocktail bars. So, you know, it's really hard to say. Yeah. I love a good dive bar every once in a while, and I know there are plenty of people who work in dive bars that are very talented, or, you know, so it's a little bit of everything.
Can we take a moment to talk about your new bar that you're working at?
Yeah.
Yeah? I've unapologetically been there for like four nights in a row last week, because it's a great place to get work done, but Lauren's behind the bar every night.
Yeah.
Are you bringing your laptop to the bar? Are you that guy?
I'm an asshole, yes.
No. This is a good thing. More people should bring their laptop
to
the bar.
It's okay. It's okay to bring your laptop if you bring chocolate.
Yeah.
Or pastries of some sort.
He brings goods when he comes.
Jason Mader does it very well too. He brings bread and
foie
and caviar.
Oh, that's fancy.
Lauren likes chocolate.
I like Bellmead.
There we go. All right. These are all the things.
That's what you bring. And then you can do whatever you want in a bar.
Yeah. So I work at Colony Club. It's on Georgia Avenue. It's been a really great project. Management is amazing. They've been open since 2013. The first time I walked into that bar was probably 2 years ago. But I say bar, it's actually a coffee shop during the day and a bar at night. And I had no idea they had a bar program when I first went in. But I was intrigued when I saw the ad up for a bar manager, because the ambiance is so casual and chill and welcoming. I really do enjoy that people are able to come in on their laptops and get work done. And seeing Eddie Kim every night he comes in, of course. But no, it's been fun. It's really interesting taking over a bar program. This is the first official one I've done by myself. And, you know, you kind of have to prioritize what's important. Like, there are tons of things you think are, but you got to figure out, well, that menu change you want to make, is it really that important? Or is it figuring out, like, you know, how we're going to utilize
How many last words do you have on the menu right now?
I wish I could have all the last words on the menu. Yeah. There will be a last word variation on the menu very soon, though, hopefully.
All right. Stay tuned.
Well, it's not just that one bar you have.
Yeah, so we have Sunny's and No Kisses next door, and they'll be opening up soon. We're really excited about that. That's all I can say at the moment. But
pizza in the neighborhood.
It's going to be so good, guys.
Sicilian-style pizza block. In a square shape. I'm excited.
Yes, it's going to be great, but definitely come in. A new exciting things at Colony Club, a session cocktail menu along with...
Cool.
Yeah, well, you know, to kind of cater those who...
All those laptoppers out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... Hey,
wink.
Well, we had this discussion. It's like, do you feel people in the neighborhood, especially a lot of newcomers coming in...
Yeah.
Do they understand session cocktails?
So I think it'll kind of be up to us to ensure that we're educating them in that respect. Like, hey, you know, you are on your laptop getting work done, but we do have options for you, was kind of my goal in that regard. I don't want to restrict them just because, you know, they can enjoy a regular libation, I guess is the way to put it. But
we've actually right then and there, calling it a session cocktail is already a major hurdle.
Yeah.
What is a session cocktail?
So session, the word itself just kind of describes something that is of lower alcohol by volume than what it would typically be in that category. So you commonly see that utilized with like session IPAs, right?
Sure.
It's your
breakfast / lunch.
Exactly.
Lunch beer.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, in my opinion, if you're going to get an IPA, get an IPA, but you know, but, no, I think it's really great. And again, I just wanted another option for those people who want to come in and maybe have something different, but not be restricted to just coffee or tea.
And I think that's a trend. I mean, Eddie and I were literally just talking about this in the car ride over here before that, like
with heated seats because it's like 10 degrees outside right now.
It is freezing.
That's how we travel. But yeah, that the low ABV and your session cocktails and drams are like. That's kind of where it's at right now because people want to hang and enjoy.
I think so.
Yeah.
We're becoming very European. It's not all about getting wasted anymore.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe.
That was actually a news item on our list for this week was that Americans are drinking less. They're drinking differently and not necessarily less volume, but they're definitely going for more craft beers.
Smarter, not harder, Eddie.
There you go.
Exactly.
More mezcal, they say. All right. Well, I think it's that time in the interview where we cut to our final game here, a little game we call
Rapid Fire.
Oh, no.
Rapid Fire.
Favorite celebrity crush?
Cardi B. She's amazing.
Actually, that's supposed to be first celebrity crush, but Cardi B works. Yeah.
Cardi B for everything.
I wrote this. If you could only eat one of these two things, would you eat only lemons or eat only raw cabbage?
What?
I don't know why I wrote that down.
Can I eat raw cabbage with lemon?
No, just one.
You got raw lemons or raw cabbage?
Oh my gosh, cabbage.
Wow.
Yeah.
From a bartender, okay.
Yeah, why not?
I feel like the lemons are like...
That's the
like,
weird thing.
Lose What's your teeth it? In like a
the
week.
Acidity. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, my turn. All right, so we've been doing wedding planning recently, and this has like been a very contentious question.
Matthew, our wedding?
Pie or cake?
Ooh. Pie.
I don't believe in cake. I don't believe in it. I think
I'm shifting the focus. What's the front runner in your wedding?
Well, Matthew. Elizabeth's all about the cake, so we're going to have cake, but
you should consider Bavarian apple tort. It's like what is it? Cheesecake meets apple pie. It is so good.
Okay. I mean, I'm into that. It's just pies are so much.
Yeah, they're better.
They're better. We all know it. Eddie Kim, this is rapid fire.
Right. Puppies or kittens?
Oh, puppies.
Come on. That's a softie.
That's not a softie.
It's an easy one.
Which one?
Puppies.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. We all know kittens suck. All right, this is like, when was the last time you failed?
Probably fairly recently. I think that I failed to realize that I wasn't doing something to my full potential and I needed to make a change.
Nice.
Yeah.
name a language you want to learn that you don't have any clue of whatsoever right now.
Japanese.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's the sexiest language out there.
Yeah.
Well, I love it.
My boyfriend speaks some. He's Okinawan.
Oh.
But I think it'd be really cool to learn, you know?
I just learned a new word recently from Brian Miller, susume, which means server's recommendation. It's not the same as omakase, though. So you go, you literally go to any place and you just say susume to the server or whoever.
Nice.
And it automatically means, I would like your recommendation.
I'm going to start telling my guests that, because I get that request susume at least 3 times a night. Like, oh, what do you recommend?
Wow, that's so much shorter, too. Susume.
Yeah. And this is a kind of a question I always like to ask. What would be your deathbed meal?
Oh, man. Probably ramen at this point. I eat it so much at home. That
Do you have a go-to ramen?
Anything fried. Yeah.
A fried ramen?
Yeah, there's a fried ramen that has like this dried seaweed that you spread on top of it.
All right, I'm into it.
It's so good.
I'm super into it.
Well, that's my question that I usually end the day with.
Eddie came in when he was like, there's lots of eye rolls and shifting fits over here.
Well, I think that's the end of our show. Do you have a question?
I have one more.
Do it.
Okay.
Would you rather go down fighting a tiger or jumping out of an airplane? This is my question, Eddie Kim.
Would I rather go down
fighting either way, a tiger? You know you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Or, so you can either like jump with nobility out of an airplane or like rush.
Nah,
with
I'd fight a tiger.
Yes!
People jump out of planes and know that they're going to survive,
into the
right?
You got to judo roll off the airplane. That's the move.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't believe I revealed that. I never made it past white belt. When I say 1 year, it's actually 2 years. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us this week. It was so much fun talking to you. Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including Spotify. And find us on all the social medias as @ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes or on Yelp. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for our intro music. We will have some new music soon, actually. And DJ RecTech for our hilarious sound effects. Next week, we don't know who we're going to have next week. Bill Murray, definitely, though.
Bill Murray's always, running. I don't know. That's all I got.
And don't forget, there is a pop-up or a night at the Passenger Squirrel Day, Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
We all love squirrels.
What are you guys featuring tonight? What are you guys doing?
So we have a few sponsors that'll be helping us out. Peroni, Tromba Tequila, Glenfiddich.
Hashtag no big deal.
Yeah, Del Bach. So, and we have appearances from some of their brand ambassadors.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
So it's a big week of a lot of pop-ups. It's not, get out of your house. It's not that cold. Take a Lyft or an Uber, whatever.
And we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Lauren.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.